What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about dating someone doctrinally different than you. And this is an important question that you as listeners have written in to ask. You guys may remember that I addressed red flags when dating, and I tried to do that in two different episodes as a guideline. And today I really want to drill into someone that's doctrinally different. So many of you who are listening to this do come from different doctrinal backgrounds. Some of you have a more charismatic, Pentecostal, Church of God background, and some of you are more Reformed. Some of you might have a Lutheran background. You grew up in a Lutheran church or Methodist church. Some of us prefer a Bible church, or others prefer a Presbyterian church, and each of these denominations represent different doctrinal commitments. And when I say convictions and doctrine that's different, we do need to define some terms here in a second. But first of all, have you ever just paused to say, when you're dating someone that's doctrinally different, praise the Lord that they have doctrine. Does that seem like a weird thing to say? I'm not just looking for things to praise the Lord for. This is true. They have doctrine. They have a commitment. That means you're not dating an unbeliever. First and foremost, that's unbiblical. There's no grounds. So if you're missionary dating or you're being overly charitable in your evaluation of someone's spiritual walk, I would just say, hey, listen, this is something that you need to address. An unbeliever is not someone that is qualified to date. You're not qualified, or they're not qualified to date you as a believer. So praise the Lord that the person you're dating does have doctrine. Secondarily, praise the Lord they care, or they have a commitment in some way. The antithesis is someone who doesn't care and they're just very doctrinally loose. So I think it's an equal concern for someone that you're just getting to know, you're just starting dating, think you're in the first month or second month, and they just kind of take on a mentality of like, I believe whatever you believe, or I'm willing to believe whatever you believe. In my mind, you're looking for something like a conviction in a person that has a commitment to God's word and a basic understanding of it. So if you're dating someone and they're like, yeah, I don't, you know, whatever you think, I'm very open. That seems very nice and agreeable, but we're looking for a theological backbone to a degree. So just because you have doctrinal differences does not mean that this is a red flag that needs to terminate our relationship. Oh no, we disagree, let's break up. No, praise the Lord, there are some things that you'll look for, and I'll share those in our second segment. But praise the Lord, they care. They care about doctrine. They have preformed convictions, and that's great. So we want to pursue people that have doctrinal commitments. We want to date people that have doctrinal convictions. That's the goal. Now, what is doctrine? Let's offer some basic definitions, and these categories will help you have a rubric of sorts to be able to identify, okay, this is good disagreement. We will always have disagreement in some way, or here are the things that we should really be aligned on. So when we talk about doctrine in general, one of the privileges that I have at the Master's University is I get to teach one of our Bible core courses, which is Christian Theology 1 and 2. And what I try to help do is teach students, first of all, what is theology, what is systematic theology, and then what is a doctrine. So think of a doctrine as what the entire Bible says on a particular topic. So when I say the doctrine of Christ, your mind should go towards something like Christology. Or when I say the doctrine of God the Father, theology proper, the doctrine of salvation, soteriology, the doctrine of sin, hamartiology. Those are all doctrines, because what we're attempting to do is to gather all of the relevant biblical passages that pertain to those topics. So typically speaking, there are 10 topics in systematic theology, and that ranges from bibliology to eschatology. And in your own understanding of theology, you have those primary categories, and then the other things that you're studying typically fit within that. So if you went and grabbed a systematic theology book today, It would represent those 10 categories, and that theologian would address those categories according to their convictions and perspective. So that's doctrine in general. Now, within doctrine, you actually have to have a rubric for understanding which doctrines are non-negotiable. For instance, which doctrine makes you a believer, a Christian, and which doctrine is something a believer can disagree on with another believer. So these actually have a name. That's the levels of doctrine. And you have maybe never studied the levels of doctrine. There's a couple of resources I would commend to you. And this does connect to dating relationships. At the back of your ESV study Bible, there's going to be a chart published by Crossway that shows the levels of doctrine. And it moves from absolutes all the way out to questions. That was written by a gentleman down at, I believe he's still at Biola, Eric Thoenes, T-H-O-E-N-N-E-S, and there's even a Crossway article on their website that references the levels of doctrine. Dr. Moeller did an article on this on the Gospel Coalition. This was many years ago. I think this was upwards of 10 years ago. So you can even Google Al Moeller Theological Triage. And in his Theological Triage article, he gets at what's a primary doctrine and what's a secondary doctrine. So let me give you a couple of categories because these are going to help you discern where you can disagree with the person you're dating and where you must agree. So the first category would be an absolute or a primary doctrine. So out of all of what the Bible says, when the Bible talks about an absolute doctrine or a primary doctrine, this is a doctrine that makes you a Christian. This is what you must believe to be a follower of Christ. Easy example, resurrection. So if you deny a resurrection, then that means that you're no longer a Christian. So primary doctrine. Or if you deny the pre-existence of Christ, that he did not exist before his incarnation, okay, you have denied what it means to be a Christian. So that's a primary doctrine. So think of your primary doctrines as what you must believe to be a Christian, or say it another way, you cannot reject this and still be a Christian. The reason I add you cannot reject this because there are some people that don't have doctrinal clarity on things like the hypostatic union. Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. There are some of us that lack doctrinal clarity on the Trinity. We've never taken a class on the Trinity. We've never heard a sermon series on the Trinity. So there are some things that are just still a bit mysterious to us. But we're not rejecting those things. That's the difference. We're not rejecting. We see that the Trinity is true and we believe it. We just don't have clarity on it. However, if I said I did not believe in the Trinity, pull the e-brake, man. That's crazy talk. Because that is actually an absolute primary doctrine of the Christian faith. So remember, primary, we cannot compromise these. When we are dating someone that rejects one of these primary doctrines, the absolutes of the faith, it's like, hey, sister, maybe not in Christ. Hey, brother, maybe not in Christ. I'm sorry, this is a line that we are drawing. The resurrection, the Son of God, the deity of Christ, rather, hypostatic union, the life of Christ being perfect. Like, those are things that are just non-compromisable. So be encouraged. You're not a Christian if you reject those. It's almost easier for these because at the primary and the absolute level, you're not a follower of Christ if you reject these types of doctrines. So that's the clear. You're maybe Jehovah's Witness or maybe a Mormon, but you're not a Christian and you're not Protestant in that way. So this is the primary absolute doctrines. Secondarily, just outside of the absolutes of the faith would be your convictions, which are your secondary doctrines. So these are things that are non-salvific, but they do have a great bearing and a weight on your fellowship at church, your fellowship with other believers, and who you date. So think of your convictions as the secondary doctrines that you can disagree with, and you still, both of you are still Christians. So yes, I respectfully disagree with you, but yet you're a believer and I'm a believer. Examples of these, the mode of baptism. Some believe that sprinkling is acceptable. Some believe that baptizing children is a form of keeping the covenant with the Lord. It started with circumcision. Some believe baptism is only for those who have professed faith. Some believe that baptism means you must go underwater and come up out of the water. So the mode of baptism is a conviction that will affect your friendships, dating relationships, and churches, but yet good and godly people disagree on the mode of baptism. spiritual gifts would be another one. Good and godly people disagree on spiritual gifts, and yet those disagreements will have a great effect on the unity of your friendship, dating relationship, and church. So if you don't believe in speaking in tongues and you're dating someone that does believe in speaking in tongues, that's going to be a significant friction point in your relationship. If you believe that moms must stay home because you see Titus 2 as teaching that home working means a mom must stay home, and you're dating someone that does not believe that, then that's going to be a friction point. And these are convictions. So they are a believer, you are a believer, but this secondary doctrine is going to have a significant impact on your relationship. So just think, I don't have to agree with them and still be a believer, but yet these convictions will have a great impact on the unity of our dating relationship. That's how I want you to start to think. So as I'm working through these, create these categories of primary or secondary doctrines. And then when we get to this next segment, I'll show you, okay, here is what you need to think about if you have a significant level of disagreement about secondary doctrine. So let's go ahead and take a break. Jimmy, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, and we will be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And I hope you're finding this discussion on dating and doctrinal differences helpful. You know, as we're talking about this, it reminds me of this resource that digs deeper into some of these issues. And you might not even realize from first glance. I'm talking about From Pride to Humility by Stuart Scott. It's a fantastic book that really gets to the heart of how pride affects our relationships, including our dating ones. It's a challenging read, but man, it's so worth it for gaining that self-awareness that we all desperately need. It's From Pride to Humility by Dr. Stuart Scott, and it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And you know, speaking of growing and learning, I've got to tell you about something exciting happening at the Masters University. Now, picture this. Imagine a place where your faith and your future career come together in perfect harmony. Well, that's TMU for you. They've just opened a state-of-the-art mechanical engineering lab that has students just buzzing. But here's the kicker. It's not just about fancy equipment. It's about how they're equipping the next generation of Christian leaders to think biblically in every area of life. TMU is not just about traditional academics. They've got this new entrepreneurship program that's really cool. If you're a student with a brilliant startup idea, instead of just writing it down on paper, TMU is going to put you in front of real investors and talk about hands-on. It's like Shark Tank meeting higher education, but with a biblical worldview. They're just not about career success. They're about building a generation of young believers who are uncompromisingly committed to Christ and to the sufficiency, inerrancy, and authority of Scripture. You can find out more information right now at masters.edu/transformed. And before we get back to Dr. Gifford, I do want to take a moment to thank all of our gospel partners out there. Your support is what has made Fortis Institute and all of the changes that you're hearing possible. You allow us to produce resources like Transformed and all of the other things that we have been able to do. Your donations help us continue this important work. But as I tell you all the time, make sure that you're already giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If you have those things squared away, then log on to fortisinstitute.org right now and see how you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford now as he continues his discussion on dating. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about dating someone who is doctrinally different from you. And I think I'm trying to encourage you. Well, I know I'm trying to encourage you. I don't know if I'm being effective in that, but I'm not trying to remove all of the candidates in your life. Some of you feel like you're already living in a very small pool of dating candidates. So this is not Gifford's attempt to remove those people from you, but to rather provide doctrinal clarity and to give you clarity on who you're dating and how that will affect your relationships. So what I said in the last segment is you have to understand a couple of key definitions. First of all, definition of doctrine. What the Bible says on any given topic. And generally there are 10 systematic categories, but we could even get down into the minutia of the role of a husband and wife and Does someone need to stay home? And when thinking those through, what does the Bible say about a husband and wife, or who goes to work and who stays home? Those types of questions come out in your doctrine. So that was the first definition. The second is a category. Knowing what is an absolute primary of the faith, or knowing what's a secondary matter, it's going to affect us significantly, but it's not really the end of the world if we disagree on these things. So let me give you in this last segment some principles to think through, just kind of boots on the ground stuff for when you're dating someone that is doctrinally different. So number one, your absolutes of the Christian faith, your primary doctrines, they necessitate agreement. That's non-negotiable. If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like hit the eject button. What are you doing? What are you doing? That's dangerous, because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel. They're rejecting key elements of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that is the core message of the gospel. So if you're dating someone that rejects the absolutes, you need to break up with them. I don't know who you are, and I'm not sitting in your back seat right now as you're driving. I don't know who you are, but I do know that you're dating an unbeliever, and then that's going to cause problems in your life. So have doctrinal clarity to take that first step and say, own the absolutes. These are non-compromisable, and the absolutes are what it means to be a Christian. Number two, when you share convictions, these are your secondary doctrines. When you share convictions, it makes unity in your relationship easier and more natural. It doesn't mean that we have to share every conviction, but when someone shares convictions that you do, you'll find yourself having less friction, less problems, potentially less disagreements and conflict in your relationship. So sharing convictions is an important part. You're getting to know someone over the first month or two of dating, and you're just learning about their convictions. And if they're convinced that a mom needs to stay home and that the woman is never allowed to go to work, okay, you're getting to learn that. If their conviction is that God opens the womb and they're against birth control, so whatever the Lord brings them with 12 kids or 20 kids, those are convictional type things. And you'll notice that the more that you align yourself in convictions, the more natural it will be to relate to that person. And in God's kindness, some of us, we find that person that they came from a similar background, they have similar denominational background, similar doctrinal convictions, and we're just so like-minded, it's a huge blessing. And then some of us, we're recognizing that they came from an unsaved background, they were not churched, they are new in their faith, and yet their convictions are either unformed or quite different than ours. So just know the convictions are going to affect the unity of your relationship. So number three, when you're dating someone, don't overlook those convictions. You can be overly charitable to overlook these. So if you're like, well, he believes in speaking in tongues, I don't, or she believes in infant baptism, but I don't, those things will have an impact on your relationship. They will. So it doesn't mean that you're dropping those convictions right now, but you're giving credence to them. Don't be overly charitable about them. Be discerning. This is part of the dating process. Be discerning about those doctrinal convictions. So as you continue dating, you haven't just started dating. Here's what you're looking for at the level of secondary doctrines or convictions. You're looking for a person that is willing to renegotiate convictions according to God's word. So let me see if I can give you an example of this. So let's use the mode of baptism as an example. Some of us grew up in maybe a Presbyterian background that children are baptized as part of the covenant made with Abraham all the way up through now modern New Testament church. And so infant baptism isn't really a big deal. Well, if you're willing to take that conviction to the Word of God and evaluate that based off of the Word of God, then that's a green light and a great thing for us to see in a relationship. If you grew up in a home where mom stayed at home and dad went to work, but you're willing to reevaluate that conviction according to the Word of God, then that's a green light. We're excited to see that in the person that we're dating. You're doing the same thing. Some of us start dating in our early 20s or maybe late high school years, and we're forming convictions. We're not graduating high school with all of our convictions formed. Even later in life, we're continuing to develop convictions on certain things. So what are we doing? We're taking those convictions back to the Word of God, and we're willing to renegotiate them according to the Word of God. So I mentioned something that's worth clarifying. When you first start dating, you have convictions that you're not going to negotiate for this person you just started dating. Don't do that. Have theological clarity. But this is month 9, year 1. year one and a half, where that person that you're fairly committed to asks you, hey, can we talk a little bit about your conviction of a lady must stay home and she can't go to work? Can we talk about that? And you're thinking, yeah, we can talk about that. Let's both study the scripture and let's start to develop a conviction according to the scripture. So if you're dating someone that's like, no way, you either believe what I believe or I'm not budging, okay, that is a red flag for you and you need to be concerned about that. If they are uncompromising in their convictions in the sense that they're unwilling to renegotiate them according to God's word, that is a red flag for you. So it may come across as very convictional and strong, but it's often going to lead to being stubborn. That person is stubborn. And when I say uncompromising, I mean unyielding or unsubmissive. So that person that's not budging, be mindful of that. If they're not willing to renegotiate according to God's word, I would be very cautious because you're going to be stuck constantly bending toward their conviction instead of both of you bending toward the word of God. So if you are convicted of an issue, this is a secondary doctrine that matters to you, then be free in this. Are you ready for it? Do you want to date them or do you not? Is this big enough of an issue where you say, you know what? I'm good. Like, I don't believe that. I don't see that in the scripture. You're unyielding in that conviction. So I'm okay. Like, I respect that. I'm not going to try to get you to believe what I believe. Romans 14 actually rebukes us doing that. I'm just going to say, I don't want to date you. So I'm at my non-denominational church and I don't want to leave it. I love the preaching here. I love the worship style. I don't want to leave. And so if you want to date me, then you need to stay at my non-denominational church. Then the person that is dating me would have to say, okay, either I go to that non-denominational church or I break up with them. They're being unyielding in their conviction. And the nice thing about this is that there is no biblically wrong answer here. You're not sinning against them. You don't have to be more accommodating. This is part of how God guides us. So when you have a person that's very strong in their convictions and you don't like it, then you have the privilege of saying, you know what, God bless you, but I don't really want to date you if that's who you are or that's your convictions. So more power to you. You can be a godly person and you can go to that church and practice that thing, whatever it is, but I'm not committed to that and I don't have to be. I don't have to yield to that conviction. Be free in that, listeners. Be free. And as you're thinking of friends, encourage them with this truth or share this episode with them that they don't have to renegotiate in a dating relationship. So the last thing that I would add here is in a dating relationship that's moving toward marriage, a more committed, almost engaged type, you're only doing so if both of you are willing to renegotiate your conviction according to God's word. And so what should happen is that you're prompting each other to be more and more biblical. One of the things that I find is that a lady is often very charitable with evaluating her man's doctrinal commitments. She's very charitable, and then she moves into an engaged relationship, and in that engaged relationship, she's still being overly charitable. What I want you to see is that as we're moving towards a more committed relationship, we are both renegotiating our convictions according to God's word, and we are willing to share those convictions more and more together. So ladies, be on guard against that guy that just doctrinally, he doesn't get it, or maybe he's overly stubborn. And guys, be on guard with that lady that doesn't want to leave her home church. She doesn't want to leave where her dad is the pastor. She is convinced that this way that it has been done her whole life is the way that it must be done. You need to be mindful of that and say, look, I'm going to respect your convictions, but I just don't share them. So the only way we're moving into a more dedicated relationship like engagement is when we're both yielding before the word of God and sharing our convictions. So hopefully that helps you guys, gives you some practical tools, even in marriage, and I can share this in a future episode. Even in marriage, we're doing the same thing, but by the time we've gotten to marriage, we've already synced up on the absolutes and then the convictions. So we're just now refining things in our marriage. So feel free to write in with more questions and I'll do my best to keep clarifying those either via email or here live on the show. So thanks for listening. Let me pray for us and we'll be done for today. Lord, I do pray for wisdom for the listeners as they're dating and they're seeking to honor you. It's a great question to ask. What about doctrinal differences? And I pray that the listeners here wouldn't be overly extreme and exacting, that they would expect everyone to agree on everything with them, but that all of us would be submitting to your word and letting your word be what defines our convictions, not our economic background, not our ethnic background, not even some of our denominational background. So Lord, give us grace to be humble people that love your word and the authority of your word, and may that bless our dating relationships, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.